Hi, you're listening to audio from The Dwelling. We hope you enjoy the message. For more information, please visit us online at www.thedwellingtx.org.
Hey, we're in our series that we're calling Game Changer. And ultimately, what I mean when I say that is we're looking at some really short books, or not even books, short verses in the Bible that we are saying, if we were to take this verse or this two verses or three verses or four verses, and we were to look at this verse and say, I believe that to be true in my life. Or if I were to take these verses and I think about my life, it would change my marriage. It would change my parenting. It would change the way in which I operate when I go to work or when I'm on the golf course. It would change everything. And ultimately, it's good, and I shared this last week, it's good to read large chunks of scripture. That's a great thing. On our mobile app, you can actually just, when you download our mobile app, me and my wife, we do this often, we'll just hit it where it can start to read to us, or there's YouVersion, some different mobile apps out there where you can just be driving in your car and you can hit play and read through the book of Mark or and you just have the Bible being read to you. It's kind of cool. Sometimes you get like a little British guy or something, you know, would you like a cup of, no, that, how do you do that? How do you do the British accent? Would you like a cup of tea? Would you? No, not even close? Okay. I'm trying. I'm always looking for the pirate translation, you know, like, or the pirate guy. Arr, Jesus said. Okay. But ultimately, like, it's good to read large checks and sections of scripture. But then there's something about sometimes reading one verse and just, like, looking at it. And just chewing on it. And just chewing on it. And just chewing on it. And so this series, as we kind of move through the season of Lent, as we move towards Easter, I wanted to just chew on some just short verses. And it's like unlimited how many verses are like this. Okay, we could have just... So it's like two verses this morning, okay? I want to read them to you. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. But you... This is Peter. So Peter's the guy who like hung out with Jesus and stuff. Remember Peter? Okay. Peter in the Bible. This is the guy writing. Peter says, but you, God says through Peter, but you are a chosen race. Holy smokes. We don't even have to get through the whole verse. We could just talk on that. You are a chosen race. You're a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. That's all we're going to do. I mean, it's really, really simple sermon today. You could preach this one. We're just going to look at four different things here. We're going to look at some adjectives and nouns. I want to look at chosen. I want to look at royal priesthood. I want to look at a holy nation. And I want to look at what does it look like to be a people of his own possession. And if we actually believe these verses to be true, it'll change your life. It'll change everything about everything. And so who I really have in mind this morning, I'll be honest with you, is the person in the room who's not a Christian. I have that person in my mind who maybe doesn't believe in Jesus. And you still have questions about God or faith. I want you to see that, especially as you're kind of like exploring Christianity maybe, and you're kind of like wondering about it, I want you to see that this is what we're talking about. This is what it looks like to be a Christian, to be a follower of Jesus. And then the other person I really have on my mind is the person who's been part of the church for like almost their whole life. And all the people in the middle, I'm thinking about you too, but I really have those two people in my mind this morning. The person who's been just going to church and doing church and doing church their whole life, and then the person who's not even a Christian, okay? Let's just start unpacking. It's a really simple message. Chosen, 1 Peter 2, verse 9. You are a chosen race. You're a chosen race. Okay, let me ask you this question. If you were to have a fire in your house and nobody else was there, you were home alone, okay? You're home alone in your house and you knew that and there was a fire. What would you grab from your house? Is there anything that you would like run over to the desk or something or run into the closet and grab to get out of the house that's going to be burned down? What would you grab? A phone? Okay. I was thinking about that a little bit too. Yeah. Grab. What would you grab? Talk. What? Records? The vinyl records? You grab those babies? You don't have like heavy boxes, do you? I mean, I could just see you like dying as you're trying to get those babies out. Okay. Yeah. That's awesome. I love it. The vinyl records. What else would you grab? Photo albums? Your dog? Good. Yeah. All of a sudden, oh, maybe I ought to grab my dog. Yeah. That's awesome. I love it. What else? What else would you grab? Meds? Your medication? Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. What else?
Kids.
I said if you're alone. If you're alone. What else would you grab? Yeah. You grab the fire extinguisher? The one sane person in the room. Fantastic. That is awesome. Yeah. Grab the fire. What would I grab? What would I actually grab? And I went to photo albums, but all of our photos are actually digital. Like I could get them reprinted like right now, I think. Right, babe? So I don't think I'd grab too many of the photo albums. Which then my brain went to my deer heads on the wall, and I was like, but they're kind of high, and I feel like I would end up dying trying to like get them off the hook. So I was like, what would I think I'd grab my wallet. I think I'd grab my wallet. And then I was thinking deer heads, but I don't know. But there's one picture of Jackie and I in it for our wedding that has a bunch of signatures of everybody that was at our wedding. And I think as I'm leaving the bedroom, I'd quick try to grab that baby off the hook and run that. Because let's be honest, Jackie would be like, oh, he's so awesome. You know, so that's not the only reason I would do it. But I do feel like that would give me points for like at least a couple of signatures again. Those signature pictures and then my wallet. And if I could get the deer heads down, a couple of them, I'd get them down. But you know, they're choosing. You're chosen. Why would you choose those things? Those things we choose because they mean something to us, right? They're a value. We're in kind of relationship with these things. They mean more than, you know, nobody's going to like run over to the kitchen sink and like start grabbing some of the, like the towels, or you're not grabbing like your fork or your knife or something. Like you're not connected to that stuff. You just go to Walmart and pick a couple more up. You're going to go get stuff that means something to you, and that's what you're going to choose. And as we think about, what does it look like to be a chosen nation, a chosen people? What does that mean? And God chooses you. God thinks about you. He's got you on his mind. He's running through the scenario. Okay, if there was a fire, what would I grab? He grabs you. He comes to you, and he's like, I want to choose you. You're my people. Now, I get that that creates for some a little bit some theological questions. We're like, well, what about people? No, don't go there so fast. Don't move to, what about the people he doesn't do? Well, what about all that? No, stop. Just soak in and process through. What does it mean that God chooses me? That he chooses you? Have you just basked in that? Have you ever just sat down and just, man, he chooses me. He chose my family. He chooses me to be one of his. Have you ever just sat and thought about that? You know, this past week we went to, or no, this was maybe last week. We went to Bluebell Ice Cream. Have you ever been to Brenham? We got the Bluebell. Have you ever been there? Hey, who's not been there? You not been there? Oh my goodness. Go there. It's just an hour and a half away. It's a little, you know, ice cream factory. Bluebell ice cream is made there. It's fantastic. It's a very family-friendly kind of feel to it. You can look over the little, watch people, workers and stuff. It's just awesome. But all you do is get to a place where there's this, like, 8-foot by 4-foot little cooler thing, right? And inside is where the good stuff is. And we hiked the kids up, and we're like, okay, after we looked at all the stuff and checked everything out, it's like, well, I want to go over there. And so we get over there, and you hike little tracks, or Ember, or Ariana, or Chikora up, and you're like, you look over and peer in, and it's like, which one do you want? Go ahead and pick whatever one you want, dude. You can pick anything you want. You want the chocolate one? You want the little fluffy-looking thing over here? You want the pink one over here? You want the chunky one over here? What do you want? Anything you want. You can have a scoop of it, dude. And for a buck, it's like the best deal in the world. I wish I lived in Brenham. I mean, seriously, I've thought about like commuting or something. It's just awesome. I mean, the people in Brenham must be like, they all must be huge. I just mean they must be. Choose whichever one you want. Why did you pick that one? Why do you pick that one? Because I want that one. I want the purple one. I want the chocolate one. I like that one. See, when God chooses us, He wants you. He wants you. And so often we feel alone. How many of us have just laid in bed at 10 o'clock and 11 o'clock and 12 o'clock and 1 o'clock and 2 o'clock in the morning, and we've just felt like nobody loves us about what we might do to take care of that ourselves. And we've thought about ways in which we might harm ourselves, or we've thought about ways. It's like nobody even cares. Have you thought those things? Have you had those feelings? You feel all alone? Nobody knows about what I'm going through. Nobody knows the pain that I'm enduring. It doesn't feel like anybody's chosen me. It doesn't feel like I'm cared for. Man, if that's you today, I want you to hear, you are chosen by God. He knows you. He knows what's going on. He loves you. He's with you. It's an incredible thing. You've been chosen. That's incredible. Is that good enough, or do we need more? Chosen. You get it? You gonna sit and bask on that, or are you gonna just kind of forget about it? I want you to, like, today or tonight or tomorrow morning, I want you to wake up and I want you to think about that. I've been chosen by God. I want you to wrestle with that a little bit. I've been chosen by Him? Are you kidding me? Who is Peter talking to here? Peter is talking to Jews and Gentiles, but predominantly Gentiles in this section of Scripture. And Peter's actually, what that means is a Gentile is somebody who's essentially not a Jew and somebody who's not Jewish. And so even though the Old Testament, it has, even though I can't get into it all right now, it has a feeling to it like it's like, oh, this is for like the Jewish people. No, it's for all the nations. That's a promise that was given to Abraham. You will be the father of many nations, okay? But And Peter, who's talking about that and realizes that, he brings in the Gentiles. He basically opens it up to everybody and anybody. Everybody and their mother. He's like, this is for you. This is why we say things like, come as you are. This is why our church says stuff like that. Because we're like, it could be anybody. It could be somebody who's struggling with sexual identity issues. It could be somebody who's struggling with abuse and addictions. It could be somebody, it could be anybody. And Jesus comes along and says, I want you. I want you. Now, God wants to work on that stuff, just like He's working on me, like with stuff. He's shaping me and changing me and molding me, and He's going to get who He wants out of me. And who's He shaping me more and more like? I mean, I preach this kind of stuff so many times, right? He's shaping me into someone who looks like Jesus. Right? And so we're, oh yeah, okay. That's who He's making me look like. Come as you are. He chooses us. Okay, listen, fun. A royal priesthood. Royal priesthood. Most. How many of you feel like priests? Anybody feel like a priest on most days? You like wake up and you're like, I feel kind of like a priest. Huh? Nobody, right? Nobody feels like a priest. What does that even mean? Now, this again is kind of Peter knowing some of his, he knows some of the scriptures, and he knows that the people of God have had priests. And these priests have predominantly worked to do what? They've predominantly been people who've been kind of a go-between between man and God. And definitely God to man as well. Although that's typically in the Old Testament, we see the prophets doing a lot of that. Okay? So a lot of what the priest is doing is kind of being a go-between between man and God, and God and man. And now Peter brings this up in a way that he says, you are a chosen people, y'all are. That's plural. The you there is plural. That's a y'all. Okay? If Peter was a Texan, he'd have said y'all here. The y'all here is y'all are a royal priesthood. Did you know that? Do you know that? It's interesting because I feel most like a priest, okay, when I'm wearing my clerical. And I actually have one. I got a picture here of me in a clerical. Check this out. This is at seminary. Boom. There I am on the left with a couple of buddies of mine. I actually have this thing still in my closet, okay? It's kind of funny. But I kind of feel like a priest when I'm wearing this thing, okay? And sometimes I'll still bust it out maybe for something. Like when Harvey happened and I was driving around, I threw it on because I was like, man, if somebody wants some prayer, I just want them to see, boom. So like sometimes I'll throw on my clerical. But so I got one of those things. And like when I have that on, I feel like a priest kind of, like, you know, like even a Catholic priest. I kind of feel like those guys. I'll even have sometimes people be like, hey, Father, you know, Father. Okay, cool. That's kind of cool. But it's interesting to me because when I put that baby on, it does kind of change me a little something. It does kind of throw into me into this gear of like, holy smokes. Now, when people look at me, they're going to see that I am a pastor. I am a priest kind of guy. I mean, I am that kind of guy. I mean, unless I'm going to like a costume party, I probably... And so, like, you kind of, like, introduce myself as, like, hi, I'm Seth. Because as soon as I say I'm Pastor Seth, oh, my goodness. The change that I see in people, the holiness of their lives comes out. And everybody goes to church. Well, maybe we don't go to church, but I love church still. And, oh, man, do we know the Lord. And, oh, yes. And it's just amazing. I mean, it's amazing. Those are some of my most favorite moments when I've been talking to a guy for, like, an hour. And I know this guy. And then he finds out a path. It's just fantastic. It's just kind of fun. It's just kind of fun. Peter here says, you're all priests. This is the priesthood of all believers. You're all priests. What does that mean to be someone who goes before the Lord on other people's behalf? What does that look like? Last week, did you catch my... I was thinking about this a little bit. I dropped a comment. I said something like this in my sermon last week. I said something like, my dad still pastors me. Do you remember that when I said that? And then when I went home that night and I started thinking about that, I was like, I'll bet you people think my dad's a pastor. See, my dad's not a pastor. My dad's a lumber salesman. He sells lumber. But still within his home, within his household, which I fit under as a son still, and I still am in that vocation of son, he still has kind of a spiritual oversight of my life as he continues to pastor and walk with me. We do this with people. We do this in our families. We do this in our homes. We do this in our neighborhoods. We do this in our workplaces. We do this as we are our go-betweens between mankind and God. And we get to speak on God's behalf. Now, you better know what you're speaking. You better not be just sharing like little catchy little phrases. Her messages turn into nice little quips and nice little cutesy thoughts and little, you know, rhymes and stuff. No, you got to call me out on that. Because what do you want to hear when you come this morning? You don't want to hear from me. You want to hear from Jesus. You want to hear from the Word. You want to hear God speak to you. And the people in your community, the people in your family, the people in your home, people in your relation, they want to hear. They maybe don't want to hear, but we do this still. We continue to bring truth to them. We continue to bring to them what they need to hear. And we do this in the context of relationship. And yeah, I'm not talking about going downtown and stepping on a stand corner and blasting people. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about getting to know your next door neighbor. I'm talking about opening up the Bible with your kids at night and just reading a little bit to them. We're a royal priesthood. I wish I could teach some of the things I learned this past week. I just don't have time. But when you look at King David, who acts as a kind of kingly priest, it's fantastic to look at two tabernacles that are happening at that point. It's just fantastic. I just don't have the time to get into it. But it's a kind of setting us up for... Not just, because see, in the Old Testament, you had priests and you had kings. And here, there's this royal priesthood. You're princely priests. You're princely pastor-ish. And I use that kind of just because there is such a thing as the pastor-ish guy. There is that. But do we fulfill those places in our life where God would ask us to be priestly and to be pastorly? Do we wear kind of a clerical, Which is, that's all that is that we would be, even though there's darkness and I'm a sinner, all the black, okay? I don't know. Truth. It's the word of God. That's what that little clerical thing means. The guys that have it wrapped around like five times, you know, those guys need to just settle down, but choke them out. But we'd be speaking God's truth. We're sinners. We wear the rest in black. We're sinners, but we have the word of God and we get to speak truth into their lives. Listen, each and every one of you has the little clerical on every single day. That's good. Do you see that? Every one of you. I was almost going to wear mine today, but I was like, no way. There'd be people never come back. There'd be people that never come back. But man, we have that. We have that around our neck every single day, each and every one of you. Not in of yourself, in Christ. All right. Got to keep us kind of moving here. Oh, ambassadors, check this verse out from 2 Corinthians. Just quick look at this. I just want you to see that I'm not just making this up off one verse. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. God making this appeal through us, we implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. God uses each and every one of us to be his ambassadors, to be a royal priesthood. You are princely priests. You are princessly, okay, girls, ladies. You are princessly priests, priestesses. I want you to, you got to think on that. You got to chew on that. If you really believe that to be true, how much of a game changer would that be in your life? See, you would stop trying every time to just get your neighbor connected to, oh, who do I get him connected to? Oh, let's get him connected to my pastor. Hey, Seth, I got somebody you need to connect with this guy because they just need Jesus. Oh, what about the priesthood of all believers? Have you shared Jesus with them? Have you talked to him? Are you building a relationship with him? No, don't get me wrong. I'll come. I'll help. I'll do whatever I can. I get that. But I'm just saying, what does it look like to just be a priest in my I don't know, where I go to work? Telling you, if you think about putting on a clerical every single day and you go to work, it will change your life. Okay. Think about it. Think about it. You're a holy people. You're a holy people. You're set apart. Holy, what is it, nation? A holy nation. What does holiness mean? Pure. That made my list. Yeah, that's good. Pure, set apart, distinct, some kind of honor there. A holy nation. I don't know about you, but as I think about my life, so often I don't think of my life as holy. Right? I see a lot of the missteps in my life. I see a lot of the places where I've fallen short. I see a lot of the places where I've made some really big mistakes and just really bombed some stuff. I don't know about you, but when I think about those things, sometimes those things that I've done overshadow and they kind of create a shadow over that which Jesus has done. And I get to a place where I almost start to think, maybe I'm not holy. See, in and of yourself, you're not. In and of yourself alone, you are a sinner. You're in need. But this is when Jesus comes and he says, I want to live the perfect life on your behalf. And then I want to take that perfection and I want to put it on you when I take your sin upon me. So Jesus goes to the cross for you, takes all of your mistakes, takes all of your brokenness, he puts it on himself and he dies. And then he gives to you all of his good stuff. He gives to you his perfection. Listen to how Hebrews 10 says it. Check this out. Hebrews 10 says it like this. For by a single offering, Jesus has perfected for all time those who are being sanctified. Now, I'm not going to be able to unpack that all the way I want, but that's okay. His sacrifice, his death on the cross is for you to make you holy, to make you new. And in this life, we continue to struggle with sin. Yes, yes, yes. That's where that ongoing sanctification piece comes in. But what he's saying is that you are holy through Jesus Christ. And so this morning, if you're a Christian, I want you to hear that in and of yourself, you are a sinner. But in your connection and relation, 100% holy. Do you ever just stop and think on that? Do you ever just stop and wrestle with, in Christ, in my relationship with Him, the Father looks at me through the Son and sees the Son. He sees a son and a daughter of His children. Wow, wow, you're holy? Are you kidding me? I mean, I'm starting to get to know you guys. Doesn't feel like it, but do we actually let and allow the words that God would say about us to be truer than what we just automatically think and feel every day? Do I hold to something like, I'm holy in Christ? And if you're not a believer this morning, that's for you. That's offered to you. To put our faith and our trust in Jesus so that we might be made holy and pure and set apart, sacred. Wow. That's incredible. And then here this last one, that we'd be a people of His own possession. A holy nation, a people for His own possession. I think of that scripture where Jesus says, neither height nor depth, neither angels nor demons, nor anything in all creation, nothing can take them out of my hand. When I got you, I got you. I'm not letting go. I'm holding on to you. Actually, me and Ian, whoa. I don't know about that song. I like it if we know what it means. I am is the kind of the, remember last week when I preached on I am, the God says, I am, I just am. I am. See, I am holding on to you. God holds on to us. And so often we kind of think when we're singing that song, I am holding on to you. Yeah, but my grip is pretty weak. But when we recognize that what that song's talking about is that the God of the universe possesses you. The God of the universe has you as His own possession. He's holding on to you. Holy smokes, it's a game changer. Changes everything. And we slip and we stumble and we fall and we come before it. God, I'm sorry. I got you, He says. I mean, He's of His own possession. God's got a hold of you. Are you letting these things just kind of soak in? You're a chosen race. You're chosen. You're a royal priesthood. You're a holy nation. You're a people of His own possession. And just walk through the rest of those verses that you would what? That you'd proclaim and all this kind of stuff. Go read it for yourself. I'm not going to sit and preach all day long on two verses. I'm just going to preach one. You go look at what the rest means for you as you think about, man, if this is really who I am, that I'm chosen by God, are you serious? Is that really true? That I'm royalty? That I'm a royal, I'm a prince? I'm a priest? Not because I went to seminary or anything like that. No, because of what Jesus has done for me. And that's for each and every one of us. And we put our clerical collar on every single day. The word of truth that we spend time in and as we proclaim that out to the world. And the holy, that we are holy. Are you kidding me? God, you tell me I'm holy? God's got you. I want you to know that today. He's got you. I know sometimes my messages can come off sometimes a little bit law-focused and it can feel like, come on, let's go. I really wanted to center today and our time together on something that God thinks about you, some things that God thinks about you. Sometimes your spouse can't see. I want you to see some things that God thinks about you and says about you that other people maybe can't see. Because if you just look at it all in my life, it looks like it's falling apart. It looks like it's crumbling apart. It looks like it's broken. It looks like it's all crap. And God comes along and says, you're holy. You're mine. You're a prince. You're a princess. You're a priest. I want you to speak on my behalf. Holy smokes. Soak that in. Let that change your entire life. See, because so often we make it about a place, don't we? And this has been said a couple different times today, but so often we turn our whole thing into a place where we go. And I'm so thankful for this place and God's provision and really providing daily bread for us and giving us this spot. I'm very thankful for that. But it's more about being a people. It's more about being a peculiar people than it is a particular place. Man, that's tweetable. It's more about being a peculiar people. I mean, some of those terms are peculiar. Princely priest? What is it? What? That's peculiar. It's more about being a peculiar people than it is about being in a particular place. We're a people. We're a people that God is making into this new. It's cool. This is another message for another time. But he's even working now through the church to make him for himself a people, a new creation. A new creation. And it'll have things in that new creation like loving your enemy. That's peculiar. It'll have things in there where it looks like getting down and grabbing somebody's foot and washing their beard. It'll have things in it like taking up your cross and following him and God working through even your suffering. It'll have some peculiarities to this, but we'll be a people of his own possession. He's working his spirit in us as he dwells, right? There's our dwelling. As he dwells inside of us as individuals and as a church, he's forming us into the people that he'd have us be as we love each other and care for our community and open it. And it's for the whole world. It's for anybody. It's for the Jews and for the Jews, then for the Gentiles. All right, I'm going to wrap us up here. The first church building that we know that came about as kind of a building that we're pretty sure about didn't come until 240 AD. Something like that. And then with Constantine, who's around like 313 or something like that, I don't know exactly, you could Google that quick. Constantine, who becomes the emperor, becomes a Christian, and basically makes the whole Roman Empire Christians. And he's like, we're all Christians now. That's when tons of buildings came about. But for close to 200 years, the church is operating in homes. The church has the word, not in print. Some of it's in print, yes. But they have it on their lips, and they have it on their heart, and it's coming out of their throat. And they're teaching it to their kids. And they're walking out on a daily basis. And they're going to work. And they're telling their neighbor about Jesus. And because they're a people. They're a people. And that's for you and for me today. All right, let me pray for you. Jesus, thank you for what you say about us. Are you kidding me? That we get all of these things said about us? We get to soak that in? This message be recalled in our brain multiple times. Get my whole arms around this. You would call me a royal priest? You'd want me to be an ambassador for you? You want me to be... You're making me holy? Are you kidding? I'm chosen by you? You choose Seth Kunzie? Oh, we just bask in that. We just soak that in. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for doing for us what we couldn't do on our own. Thank you for what you do for us that we can't do on our own. And thank you for offering that to all of us, for the whole world. Thank you, Jesus. May we be filled with your Holy Spirit. May you continue to work in us this message and your word as we spend time in it this next week. As you continue to shape us to look more and more like you. Thank you, Jesus. blessed today. Let me leave you with a blessing. May our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, he will bless you and keep you. May he make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May he look upon you with favor and give you his peace. Amen. Have a great week, you guys. See you next week. Right here, baby. Booyah.